No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Take me to the pilot, lead me to the tamer.
Take me to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlainRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plain Radio toll free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Clay this week for today's edition of Just Plain Radio. I am literally out in the middle of the ocean. Well, kind of. Well, I guess I am. I'm on a boat. I'm on a boat. And I'm having a big old time because Captain Clay here runs a company called Explore Ventures, which is a liveaboard dive company. And we're spending a week out on the boat this week. And you can hear all about it on Scuba Radio, the other radio show that I do. But, you know, this show is about the journey, not necessarily the destination. And how we got here was on Captain Clay's private plane, a Saratoga SP Piper low wing super flyer.
Oh, okay, that's close enough.
Yeah, super flyer. He liked that part of it. That I embellished, you know, the model a little bit. But this thing got us here in one piece, no problem. That was just a fun flight to get down here to St. Kitts, by the way, which is where we're anchored on this boat, the Caribbean Explorer 2.
It was a great trip. You know, we had a lot of fun. It was, basically I flew from Wyoming all the way to Florida, and you get to Florida and keep going another 1,200 miles. And
yeah.
It's a good flight. It's interesting. It's something different to do.
Now, other than me having to fly as your co-pilot, which part of the flight was better, that flight from Wyoming to Orlando or, you know, the part from Orlando to St. Kitts?
I think definitely the part from Orlando to St. Kitts is better. Just the company was fantastic.
Wayne and Brown knows, Clay.
I try.
Yeah. He's, I guess you're just trying to make it up to me because I hooked you up with some Zulu 2s.
You know, the Zulu 2s are pretty amazing. I haven't had the opportunity because I couldn't pry those out of your hands to test them, but I'm looking forward to it. When you finally get your butt out of the plane, yeah. I'm looking forward to trying them.
Yeah, well, you know, Lightspeed was nice enough to hook us up with some headsets for this trip, and he left two of them in the box and gave the other one to me, and so I told him, I said, man, they sound awesome. You should try your headsets.
Yeah, and, I'm not going to say you sounded awesome because it'll probably go to your head and all that, but you know, we did listen to XM radio on the way down before we ran out of XM signal around the Turks and Caicos, and, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Now, what we're going to talk about today is what it's like to run a trip like this, but before we get into the planning of running a Caribbean adventure down as far, you know, south as St. Kitts, Nevis, and the Lesser Antilles chain of islands here in the Caribbean. I want to talk more about your plane. So let's talk about what we were flying in, which was this Piper Saratoga. You've had this for a couple months now, right?
Yep, I've had it since May. It's a 1983 Piper Saratoga SP retractable. The identifier of it is a PA32R-301T, which means it's 300 horsepower, it's turbocharged, it's got retractable gear, basically.
So super flyer was a pretty good descriptive way to describe your plane when I said that earlier.
No, not really, but good try. Good try.
Okay, well, it's about the thought that counts. You know, when I can't remember all these numbers and stuff. Superfly. It was very comfortable. That was the thing. And it's a six-seat airplane, and it has pretty good load capacity, and it gets you there faster compared to the 235 that you had before, right?
Yeah, actually, it's a little bit faster. It actually is more, burns less fuel per nautical mile than the other plane does. So burn a little less fuel, go a little faster. It's a little wider, a little more comfortable to sit in for long periods of time. It's six seats, and if you take the seats out, you got plenty of cargo capacity and to bring your stuff down with us. That was sort of,
well, you know, America's getting wider, and I think me and Clay are pretty good representatives in that department. So it's good to have that little extra width to accommodate our air. I think that's how they say it in the Caribbean.
I think that's about right.
Yeah. So, but tell me about the low wing design of that plane, because you know my training has always been in a Cessna 172 high wing, easy fly airplane trainer kind of thing. This is a low wing thing, and you know I've flown in some other planes like this. But what is really the difference from a beginner pilot like myself? low wing versus high wing, like a Cessna 172-182?
Well, from a purely technical point of view, high wings have an advantage when it's raining because you can get under them a lot.
Well, true,
but
more shade.
Exactly, and new pilots have the little diamond imprint in their forehead when they run into the trailing edge, run into the aileron as they're trying to walk under the wing, and it's only
right.
5 feet off the ground instead of
been there, done that several times.
Exactly. So there's really not a lot of difference in terms of flight characteristics. The main ones are that the lower wing airplanes and the lower wing Piper airplanes have more dihedral on the wing, which means the wings are both tipped up a little bit, so that the plane will naturally try to level itself a little bit more than the Cessnas do. And the advantage in landing, they tend to be a little bit easier to land than the Cessnas, because by the time you get a low wing close to the ground, the ground effect is pretty much gone. So they stop flying better than a Cessna does when you want it to stop flying.
Okay, so you can get your descent quicker with a low wing. Does that make sense? Am I saying that correctly or no?
Not necessarily, but when you want it to stop flying, it's easier to do. They're easier to land in higher crosswinds than a Cessna might be, because the wings are lower to the ground. They'll both descend. The rate of descent is based more on the airfoil of the wing and the weight of the airplane compared to what its gross weight is and its power capability and all that. But, by and large, high wing, low wing, they'll descend. Certain airplanes, whether high wing or low wing, will, descend like an anvil if you want them to.
Yeah, well, you really don't want them to, ideally, I guess, right? Unless you're coming in way high and you got to get down quick. But you have to be able to flare right at the right minute, or it could be ugly.
Yeah, basically. If you're coming down like a brick and you want to land, then you've got to leave enough reserve energy in the form of airspeed to enable you to flare. But coming down fast is, whether it's perhaps an emergency situation. If you're up very high and you're on oxygen and your oxygen supply has an issue, you need to get down fairly quickly. If you're coming in, certain airports down here in the Caribbean, for instance, St. Bart's, has an approach over a huge ridge. So basically it's a slam into a short runway. So you've got to do a very, very steep approach path to successfully land on that runway.
So that would be better in a low-wing Piper like yours as opposed to a high-wing, possibly.
Well, no, high-wing, low-wing, both will do it. It's just a little bit different technique. So.
But you'll look cooler because you like the low-wing Piper design better.
Well, I do like the low-wing Piper design a little bit.
It's always about how good you look. I heard that back in the day from some comedian or something. It's better to look good than to fly good or something. You look marvelous. I just dated myself again, but whatever. All right, so we're in the Caribbean and flying this kind of plane. Obviously, you love it. Let's talk about some of the technical specifications, load, fuel capacity, that kind of thing.
Well, the Saratoga that I'm flying has three things against it in terms of weight carrying capacity. It's got retractable gear, which weighs about 100 pounds less than the straight leg version. It's got air conditioning, which is another 100 pounds, and it's got a turbocharger.
The retractable wings. Okay, weigh more, about 100 pounds more than one that doesn't retract.
Retractable landing gear, yeah. The wings don't retract.
Well, that's true. Not on that plane. I've seen it on other planes. See, that was a half save. But you wanted retractable landing gear because, not necessarily because for speed, but because of all the Caribbean flying. That was one of the factors you were thinking about.
That was one of the trade-offs, yeah. The retractable gear is a little bit more maintenance. You gain about 10, maybe 10 or 12 knots versus the straight leg version of the same airplane. But there's a school of thought that says if you are flying a single engine airplane over the water and you lose your engine for whatever reason, you have less of a chance of flipping over on your back if you're landing a retract with the gear up versus...
Well, it's like skipping a stone, and you come in and you skip across the water, hopefully back onto the land. Just like a... No?
Pretty much. I don't think you'd ever hit land, but unless you were really, really just a day late and just a penny short. But there's a school of thought, as I said, that 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 indicates it's a little bit safer and a little bit more survivable in that situation.
Right. And obviously, you got a lot of water for flying through the Caribbean, and that's what Clay does. He has these liveaboard boats that are scattered around the Caribbean and other places of the world, and he has to fly out there for business to deliver parts or people like myself or whoever or whatever he needs to do business-wise to manage his fleet of liveaboard dive vessels. So it's definitely a necessity to take that into account with the type of plane that you wanted to purchase, right?
Yeah, basically. I mean, every airplane has a certain mission to a greater extent than your personal vehicle. You know, if you just need something to go back and forth to work, then a sports car might work. Whereas if you got a family, a minivan might be the better bet. And the Saratoga is essentially the aerial equivalent of a minivan or a light duty pickup truck. You know, it can carry quite a bit of load. And
a pickup truck would be much more manly, Clay. So let's go with that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. You know, we'll go with pickup truck. But you know, my plane with full fuel, which is 102 gallons, it'll take off with an additional 555 pounds, which is not a lot. So
that covered me and Clay. No, it had room for some luggage and stuff more. We're going to get into the specifics of our route through the Caribbean and how you can do this next on Just Plane Radio. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Deep Water Cay in the Bahamas has been a hotspot for world-class anglers and Hollywood stars for over 50 years. They fly into Freeport or take advantage of the 4,000-foot private runway. So in as little as 20 minutes from Florida, you too could be experiencing world-class fishing, diving, paddleboarding, whatever your adventurous heart desires, Deep Water Cay delivers. So treat yourself like the star that you are at Deep Water Cay's private island resort in the Bahamas. Go to deepwaterkay.com. That's deepwaterkay.com.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
A buzzer took a monkey for a ride in the air. The monkey thought that everything was on a square. The buzzer tried to throw the monkey off his back, but the monkey grabbed his neck and said, "Now listen, Jack. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and stay right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top."
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me. This week, I am joined by Captain Clay, or I should say, he invited me along for a flight down through the Caribbean. We're literally on a liveaboard dive boat anchored off the coast of St. Kitts in the Lesser Antilles chains of Caribbean islands, and just having a ball. And I'm down here doing diving. You know, you combine these passions that you have, and just because you're a pilot doesn't mean that that's all you do. What it ends up happening it kind of went reverse for me. I was a diver first, and then I got doing this pilot thing. But, you know, if you're a pilot, you're listening, you know, you fly to these different places, and, you know, it's all about the journey, but maybe you go to a place where you want to scuba dive, so maybe you will join Clay on the water as well as in the air like I'm doing this week. But we flew down from Orlando, Florida. He picked me up in Orlando. We flew down from Orlando, Fort Lauderdale, stopped in the Turks and Caicos, and then flew from there to San Juan, then from San Juan to St. Kitts. So we had a nice little run over a two-day period, three-hour hops thereabouts, Clay, and it was easy. It was easy. It was fun. It was convenient. And the scenery was spectacular. As far as all the times that you've done this in the past, how did this rate as far as a run down through the Caribbean like that?
You know, it really ended up being easy. This is, you know, we're in, you know, late August, early September now, so that the, you know, the weather might be a little bit more of a challenge this time of year than it is at other times. We flew IFR, inter instrument flight rules, all the legs just in case, and we did fly, end up flying through some clouds and having to send through some layers and that type of thing. We could have flown down low and gone VFR, but it really was just as easy as it always is. It amazes me the number of pilots that are in Florida that never hop over to the Bahamas or even farther afield. It seems like this big scary adventurous thing before you do it, and then when, you know, it's a little bit nerve wracking the first time, just learning the different procedures and all that. But after that, it's you know, a little bit of additional planning and a little bit of an adventurous spirit, and it really is quite fun to do.
Yeah, you know, it's something that I've wanted to do for some time, and me and Clay have been talking about doing a trip like this for at least 6 months now, probably more like a year since I started my flight training, because that's why I wanted to learn how to fly, because I'd been asked to come down and do some broadcasts for our Scuba Radio show at some places in the Caribbean and islands that are hard to get into with domestic carriers, and you got to charter a flight or find a friend who flies a plane and that kind of thing, and that's what eventually led to you know starting Just Plain Radio and learning to fly myself. So I'm trying to do this, and I always had seen this in the past when we took off from Fort Lauderdale, even on charters that I've done before. I always noticed that once you get out of the main airspace of like Fort Lauderdale International or Miami International, it's pretty quiet up there. There's not a lot going on. It's much busier and much more difficult to fly, you know, out of Orlando, Fort Lauderdale, Miami, and big cities like that than it is through the Caribbean.
Yeah, exactly. There's, I mean, the all the different Caribbean islands have slightly different regulations, but they're all pretty much the same. I mean, you don't fly VFR at night. Generally in the Caribbean, you have to file IFR to fly at night. That might vary country by country. That's the case in the Bahamas. But, you know, the planning is a little bit different. You don't want to do a maximum range flight to an island and get there and find out that their fuel shipment didn't show up that month, so your plane's stuck there until fuel shows up.
Which was one of the situations that happened with you. We were planning to fly into Estacia, but they hadn't gotten their fuel, you found out, when you actually came down to do the final flight plan, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I hadn't I'd flown into Estacia before, had never purchased fuel there, but called them up beforehand, and they said now we're... it took them about 3 days to get back to me, and they were trying to figure out their shipment. They said, no, it won't be there in time. So our original plan to fly directly to Estacia and then you know, leave the plane there for a few days while we're on the boat, that got shot to hell. So we had to stop in San Juan and fuel up and then fly over to St. Kitts and leave the plane there.
Yeah, in San Juan, very busy airport. And actually, Providenciales was pretty busy, too. So we flew into two fairly busy international airspace Caribbean islands, but most of the other places you fly into, probably even like St. Kitts here, is more like flying into a little non-towered airport almost in the States, wouldn't you think? Or it's comparable to a certain extent?
You know, I think certainly San Juan has a lot of traffic into. We landed at Isla Grande, which is the general aviation airport. They do some of the smaller charters that's not San Juan International, which is a few miles down the coast. To the east, but Provo is a main fueling stop for a lot of light planes going down to San Juan, because San Juan from Florida is just under 1,000 miles. Provo's just about halfway, a little bit more than halfway, so it's a convenient fueling stop. So they do get quite a bit of traffic in there, and both airports, you know, San Juan and to some extent St. Kitts, get quite a bit of commercial jet traffic too. But, you know, compared to your normal general aviation airport in the States, you know, there's even less traffic than that.
Yeah, well, I'd agree. It's much busier in Fort Lauderdale, Miami, or even Orlando with the airspace and having to watch for traffic and them managing all the planes around it. You know, it was a little busy around San Juan, like you said, but most of the other islands, the smaller islands, it's like flying into a non-towered airport in the U.S. I mean, these are small little mom-and-pop airports. Some of them are, monitored, some of them are not. But you just have to do your homework and your flight plan accordingly, right?
Yeah, exactly. You've got to know what services are available. You've got to know what the immigration procedures are. Most of the immigration procedures are very similar island to island. You know, when you fly in, you have to fill out three copies of what's called the General Declaration Form, or GENDEC, which is easy to fill out. Hand it to them. They stamp it. You keep that. When you leave, you give them three more copies for outbound. They stamp it, and you give that to the next island you go to. It really is not a big deal. The weather is generally VFR here. You might have to circumnavigate rain showers, but you very rarely get wide, unless you have a tropical system in there. You don't get huge areas of weather that you got to fly around. We'll see pop-up cumulus clouds that you got to fly around, some diversions necessary, but they're pretty easy to avoid.
Yeah, and you have this lightning striker thing in your plane. What is that exactly?
It's called a storm scope. It's made by 3M, and it basically measures electrical discharge. So if there's a lightning strike in a building cumulus cloud, it'll show up on the IFR GPS that I have, the Garmin 530, and give you warning what's there. If, you know, the more strikes, the more active. You've got a counter that tells you how many electrical strikes, and depending on the symbology between the strike count and the symbology that it's showing, it'll tell you how strong the storm is and what the electrical discharge is basically directly correlated to the convective activity.
And so it's actually getting that from your airplane, or is that coming from some kind of satellite thing?
No, it's directly sensed by the airplane.
Having something like that in your plane is even more important when you're doing a trip like this through the Caribbean, I would expect, right?
Yeah, basically. I think the Caribbean countries don't have the level of detail of weather forecast that you get in the States, where you get, this 4 hours is going to do this, and the next 4 hours is going to do that, and then the wind's going to shift around. You'll get very wide-ranging area forecasts that cover the entire Caribbean or half the Caribbean.
Well, you know what? Enough talking about it. Let's take you with us. Coming up next, we're going to do a Just Plane Radio first and broadcast from 11,000 feet from Clay's airplane. That's coming up next right here on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, aloha Captain Clay, and we are coming to you from 11,000 feet in between Providenciales, on our leg from Provo to San Juan, and so far so good. I'm loving this. We ought to do this more often, Clay.
I think so. It's a nice way to travel.
Yeah. Now, we've just deviated around some storm clouds, which is fairly common when you're flying through the Caribbean, right?
Yeah, pretty much. It's we've got a little bit of a cloud cover between us and San Juan, so we got plenty of fuel. We can always deviate south, no problem, and we can always turn around. Worst comes to worst, but I'm not expecting that to happen. Normally, this just air mass thunderstorms, and as long as they're not forming a big line between us and where we want to go, we're usually good.
Good to go. And at 11,000 feet, we got a little bit of glide path that we can make it, hopefully to a land mass if we had to, right?
Yeah, at least a boat.
Oh,
somewhere close to a boat.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
But everything's running good. The engine monitor's showing all the cylinders are firing fine. The plane's running great, so I'm not anticipating a problem. But just in case,
yeah.
Right behind Greg here,
we have our ditch bag, right?
We have our ditch bag. We've got a sat phone. We've got a VHF marine radio. We've got a raft, of course. We've got life jackets and survival equipment, flares, and all that fun stuff. which we're glad to have and hope it never to ever to use.
Exactly. But we got it right there behind the pilot's seat. I am in charge of grabbing that as a co-pilot, right?
Exactly.
That's my one duty on this flight, and just to sit back and enjoy the scenery and do a little radio show, which is, you know, this is kind of, I think this is the first time we've ever done Just Plain Radio from 11,000 feet. So I feel honored. Or
I'm truly honored.
Yeah,
totally honored.
There you go.
Do I get a t-shirt?
We don't have any. Maybe a cap. No, we don't have any of those either. How about one of these little reader vest things you can hang your glasses on? I got one of those for you, Clay.
Excellent.
And
excellent.
You got your new Zulu 2s, which actually I'm using right now. We're filming this, and I'm experiencing the calm, cool, relaxing sounds of Sirius XM in the background. And being able to hear everything crystal clear in a nice, quiet cabin. I love it.
It's very nice.
All right, we got more back on the ground here for Just Plain Radio. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up. You want to hit back? We're going to have to wingsuit in. It's the only way to get close. I can't promise anyone a ride home, but if you're with me, the world needs you now.
And I can fly.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Clay this week. I am his guest, flying in a Piper Saratoga down through the Caribbean. We're actually anchored off the coast of St. Kitts right now on a liveaboard boat that Clay owns. Now, you just heard us broadcasting from 11,000 feet, a Just Plain Radio first. And that was pretty cool, Clay. You marked that off your list too, didn't you?
You know, I haven't made a phone call from the middle of the Caribbean before, other than from a boat. So, you know, I can't imagine anybody being more excited than you were that day leaving drunk dial voicemail messages for people.
Well, you know, now you're talking about something else. I'm just talking about the fact that we actually did a segment of the show with our Zulu 2s plugged in and then recorded the whole thing from 11,000 feet. You're talking about what we did after that we weren't able to record, but I got a new sat phone from our friends at Global Star right before this trip, and they put a few minutes on it and said go play with it while you're on your trip and see how it works for you. So we're flying along after we do our segment, and though I couldn't record it, I said, Clay, hey, if I turn on this sat phone in your plane, will that make all the electronics go haywire and, you know, send us down into the Caribbean in a fiery crash? He said, no, turn it on. Let's go. And this isn't like, you know, flying commercial. You can do crazy things like that. So sure enough, I turn on the sat phone in the middle of the Caribbean, and I get a signal, and I start calling up all my friends. And nobody picked up because it was coming back as a caller ID, I found out later, as out of area. So, you know, everybody's thinking that, oh, it's a telemarketer, I'm not going to pick it up. So, I just kind of left a crazy message. Dude, I'm at 11,000 feet, and I'm in the middle of the Caribbean in a private plane, and you're not. Suck it! And, you know, of course, I've heard back from them already via email and stuff. But that was quite a treat.
Yeah, what did the email say?
Don't ever do that again. I've blocked your number. That kind of thing. But no, they thought it was kind of neat. It's pretty amazing, the technology, to think that not only can you fly down through the Caribbean in a private plane and have the journey of a lifetime, but hey, you can stay connected. Another way to stay safe is maybe to pack a sat phone.
Yep, exactly. I mean, it's a great emergency piece of equipment. The price has come down. The service is not all that bad. And you know, if you're in our situation, the potential is always with any airplane, but especially a single engine airplane, you could be floating out in the middle of the Caribbean with a raft, and you know that'd be fun for a little while. But after that, you might want to make a phone call and have somebody pick you up. So
yeah, you know, exactly. The scenery, that whole sunset, maybe one sunset, maybe. By then, you know, you're looking at each other like, okay, if he dies first, I'm going to have to eat him. No, that's, you don't want to put yourself in that kind of situation, right, Clay?
Yeah, not if you can help it. Not with you, anyway.
Well, exactly. I'd only sustain Clay for a day or so at most. But yeah, you got a sat phone. We had a Nautilus Lifeline, which is actually a product that comes out of the dive industry. That's a submersible VHF radio and kind of an EPIRB locator as well. But you have something else in the plane too, don't you?
Well, I've got a personal EPIRB, and I've got a backup GPS. I've got what's called an emergency locator transmitter, which is installed in the airplane, which also broadcasts GPS signals. So if we run into trouble, I can turn that on, and the satellites will pick up the fact that not only is there an emergency signal, but exactly where it's coming from, instead of the old technology where they had to sort of triangulate and guesstimate where you were. So if we ended up having to go swimming, it was, we were pretty well equipped.
Yeah, we had a lot of systems, backup systems, and really this stuff isn't super expensive now. You know, especially, the sat phone, you can get the sat phone for a few $100 and get a little minimal plan or even a temporary plan if you're heading down to the Caribbean, if you don't do that often. But just little extra things like that are just good peace of mind type of things to invest in.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, you've got to plan ahead, not only in terms of weather, as we were talking about earlier, but in terms of what emergency equipment you're carrying. If the worst were to happen and you had to ditch the plane in the ocean, where that emergency gear is located, how easily you can get it out of the airplane, that type of thing. So it, but it all came together pretty well, and luckily we've never had to use that little backup plan.
Yeah, well, it's always a situation where you're preparing for the worst and hoping for the best, and we had the best. It was, nothing even remotely went haywire, or maybe a slight deviation around a storm. And it wasn't really even a storm, more just a little thunder boomer here and there.
Yeah, and that's normal for flying in these latitudes in the summer, or in the winter too, for that matter. But that's no big deal. That happens almost every flight.
But just having that extra peace of mind of knowing that you have the sat phone, you have the EPIRB, you have a Nautilus Lifeline, you got all these different backup systems, and your ditch bag and all that stuff squared away, it's just kind of in the back of your mind, like, okay, I've prepared for the worst, and hopefully I won't have to need it, but it makes you a little bit more comfortable with the whole situation, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'd actually Keith here and I flew to San Juan a couple years ago, and there was a gentleman who was delivering brand new airplanes from Florida down into South America, and he was probably in his 70s or something like that, and he was flying ag tractors down there. He'd do direct from Florida to San Juan, and then head down to Venezuela, and he'd arrive with a bunch of bungee cords in the cockpit to hold the stick, and that was his autopilot, and a case of beer, and that was his traveling emergency kit. Worked pretty well for him.
Worked all right. He never had a problem.
Yeah, never apparently had a problem. I don't think personally I'd do that. But
we're not endorsing that technique. but hey, to each his own. You know, you're going to experience all kinds of flyers maybe in the Caribbean. So that just keep that in mind, and you might want to prepare accordingly for yourself.
Prepare a little bit better than that if you value your future a little bit more.
Yeah, I would say, looking at this adventure that we've done, Clay, probably the most difficult thing has been the paperwork and just making sure you're good with customs and filling out those forms. And I don't know, you got to give them like an hour notice before you're leaving one airspace to the other, kind of thing.
Yeah, if you're either leaving from or arriving into U.S. airspace, you have to file what's called an EAPIS report, and you have to do that electronically over the internet. You also have to give customs hour notification that you're arriving via telephone. So those are the two basic requirements. Now you've got to do that both outbound and inbound, and they get pretty serious about that. If you haven't filed it correctly, or if you haven't filed it on time, or if you arrive early. Late is generally not an issue, but early is a little bit more of an issue.
Yeah, well, as we found out, St. Kitts didn't open until 10 a.m.
Yeah, well, customs in San Juan didn't open until 10 a.m. and we were leaving at 9. We hadn't at that point tested the sat phone, so we didn't know that we could call from the air. So we called the FBO that was in San Juan and asked them to call them and let them know our arrival time.
Yeah, your FBOs scattered through the Caribbean are very helpful, especially at the places that we went to, Providenciales, San Juan, even St. Kitts. They can help you out to a certain extent with that, and they're there to help facilitate that whole process for you.
Yep, and the San Juan is very well set up, Provo's very well set up, and there are many other FBOs in the Caribbean that are outstanding. There's some airports, for instance, St. Kitts here, they really don't see a lot of general aviation traffic, and they're not really set up for that. So it's a little bit of an adventure and a learning experience the first time you fly in, trying to figure out where to park the plane, and then what you need to do with immigration and all that. But that's part of the fun of it.
Absolutely. Now, what about prepping the plane mechanically? What did you have to do for your Piper Saratoga SP for this trip? I know you had a couple instances or situations. We didn't have any AC, but that kind of worried me a little bit because I knew how hot it was in Orlando. He's from Wyoming, and I'm thinking, you have no AC? Do you have any idea that it's, we're in the middle of summer in Florida right now? This is going to be a bad scene, but it really wasn't an issue at all.
No, it's not an issue. I mean, we spend most of our time at 11,000 feet or higher. It's nice and cool up there no matter what latitude you're at, so you don't really need to worry about AC. It's more valid on the ground right before takeoff and right after landing, and you don't have to pop open doors and windows and try to cool yourself off. But, generally give the plane a good once-over. Make sure all your airworthiness directives, all your service bulletins, everything is up to date, and you don't have any outstanding, we call them squawk items, little glitches in the airplane that aren't fixed. So I had a few of those. It's a relatively new airplane for me. So I'm still working a few bugs out. Nothing really, safety of flight related, but just little stuff like air conditioning. Yeah, I figured we could probably survive without it.
Yeah, even though, it's the Caribbean and it's summer, you'd think that could be a problem. But, yeah, I just popped open the hatch there, the door. I was in charge of that as your co-pilot, and so I was kind of in charge of central air conditioning, I guess, in a way.
Yep, exactly, and you did a remarkable job at it.
Thank you.
You only forgot it a few times?
I did. I did forget it once. I was like, damn, it's hot in here. Open the door, Greg. What's wrong with you? I was like, oh, go! But it was the first or second time. Then I got the hang of it. But you got that. What about planning for equipment and supplies in a trip like this? I mean, I know you had some extra quarts of oil and things like that, but really nothing that you wouldn't prepare for a run throughout the States, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, coming up next, we're going to talk more about what kind of plane I need to get on Just Plane Radio. Evidently, flying with Clay is only going to last so long. He wants me to get my own plane.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Never feel sorry for a man who owns a plane.
So here I stand, and then again I say,
I'm hoping we can make some wishes out of airplanes.
Can we pretend that airplanes in the night sky are like shooting stars? I can really use a wish right now. Wish right now. Wish right now.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me. I am literally just anchored off the coast of St. Kitts on a liveaboard dive boat with my buddy Captain Clay, who was nice enough to fly me down here in his Piper Saratoga SP airplane. We had a great time. Pleasant flight. It's all about the journey, and that's what we're trying to cover here for you today, give you an idea of what it's like to do a trip like this. You know, he picked me up in Orlando, Florida. We flew once again down to Fort Lauderdale, then over to Providenciales and the Turks and Caicos, from there to San Juan, and then from San Juan to St. Kitts. So it was a four-leg trip. Went quite, well, it was uneventful, but quite an experience. Had fun along the way. Listened to some tunes. Made some, you know, satellite phone calls to friends and annoy them a little bit. And here we are, you know, anchored off in paradise. So, you know, going through that experience, you know, Clay and I obviously were talking about his plane and what's how this whole journey is going. But, like, thinking, like, okay, could this be me in the future? Could I be giving someone a ride down through the Caribbean? That's what I ultimately want to achieve there, Clay. And you have some ideas along that lines, huh?
Well, definitely. I mean, you know, in talking to you over the last year or so, you tend to have pretty pretty radical ideas about the kind of plane you want for a guy that doesn't have his pilot's license quite yet.
Well, exactly. I've always thought like Grand Caravan or a Kodiak type of thing that I could take like five or six people with dive gear. But you're saying, you know, Greg, bring it down to earth just a tad.
Exactly. Well, first of all, you got to remember, as a new pilot, you're not going to find four or five people with dive gear that are going to want to fly with you.
I'll be lucky if I find one.
Exactly right. So, you know, you've got to probably look at something that's, first of all, a piston engine, not a turbine engine. You won't be able to get insurance as a low-time pilot for a turbine. You want to find something that's got good interior space, good payload capacity. It doesn't need to be that fast, because most of your flights will be, you know, under 3 hours anyway, and you can pay a lot more money for a faster airplane in order to gain, you know, 15 or 20 minutes on any given flight. It's really not worth the additional expense.
Yeah, it's all about the journey anyway. I might want to do some extra sightseeing that way. You know, but, you know, I've learned in a Cessna 172, you've been a Piper guy, you know, pretty much all your flying life, I assume, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I learned, I think my first lesson was in a 152, and then soon, 20 hours later, I ended up buying a Piper Warrior, which is 160 horse, you know, Cherokee, essentially. And I've been flying Pipers ever since.
And your buddy Keith here, who is like your engineer for the liveaboard boat and friend and co-pilot and that kind of thing, he's a big time flyer too. And Keith, you were telling me that you think that would be a better approach for me as well, because the Pipers, there's a great market as far as price, value for the buck, that kind of thing. And from an engineering perspective, that I might be able to appreciate that better as far as being able to maintain this thing. Is that true?
Well, yes. You're going to need a maintainable aircraft. There's no reason to get an aircraft that you can't afford. You can't afford to maintain it. You can't afford the annuals.
So you need that does sound like something I would do, but I probably should avoid.
I mean, annuals are expensive. Every year, you got to pull the whole airplane apart. You got to have a mechanic that can pull it apart. You got to have a local mechanic that you know and trust that can pull it apart, because it is your airplane, and it's got to be able to fly. So if you're not certain if it's airworthy or not, you probably don't want to be hopping long hops over the water with it.
Right. Man, you do that kind of stuff yourself. As an engineer, you do some of this as a mechanic as well?
Yes, and I'm an A&P as well, so I've torn in too many airplanes, and I have an airplane as well. So I know what it takes to keep them flying, and I know what it costs to keep airplanes flying, because I've owned aircraft.
Yes. So you have a Cessna 206. Is that what it was?
Yeah, I have a Cessna 206, an F model, 1974. Set up with Aspens and 430s in it, and it's set up for backcountry flying. But it is extremely comfortable interior setup in it for backcountry flying.
Okay, for backcountry flying, which I guess that would apply to what I would want to do in the Caribbean, isn't it? If I'm like wanting to bounce down to the Keys or over to the Bahamas from Orlando or Fort Lauderdale area, is that the same type of flying we're talking about, or is that a different animal?
Absolutely. I've had my airplane into Dallas Love. I've had it into major airports, as well as I've had it on a lot of dirt strips. So my airplane goes pretty much everywhere.
All right, so a 206 versus a Piper 235 is what we're looking at. Is that what you were saying?
No, well, no. 235 would be a little bit small in interior space for you, so you're probably looking at a Cherokee 6, which is a
Cherokee 6, right. So, but you have a Cessna, now, and you're the AP mechanic, so I'm starting to think, now, wait a minute, maybe I got to go back to the 206. See, we were having this argument last night. And I was thinking they almost sold me on this Cherokee 6, but now when if that's what you got, maybe I need to have what you have.
You have to think about this for a second. I have no hair.
I don't have a whole lot.
So having a high-wing airplane has major advantage of me because I'll get sunburned in a low-wing airplane.
Oh, okay. So it was just the extra shade that put you over the top for the 206.
The 206 has a couple advantages over a low-wing aircraft. I do fly off a lot of dirt. In a low-wing aircraft, cleaning the bottom of the wings, all the dirt off the bottom of them, means laying on your back. In my airplane, it's a lot easier to get the mud off the bottom of the wings. I don't get so many dents in the front of my wings, except when you're fueling, you need a ladder. And fuel guys will run into your aircraft with the ladder, dent in the front of the wings. The low-wing aircraft, you can polish the wings easier on top, make it look shinier. You don't need a ladder to fuel. Flying, they both fly well.
But market value, the Cherokee 6, as you guys were saying last night, there's a big market. You might be able to really score one for an excellent price, even outside of Clay's old plane.
Well, yeah, the Cherokee 6, you're going to find them at a good price because they've gotten older. You can still find them with reasonably low times. They're fully restorable. You can get it all rebuilt and ready to go and have a great airplane that flies well. You can also search for a Cessna 206. You're going to pay probably twice as much for a 206 setup as well as a Cherokee 6. Alaska eats up 206s. If they're available and they're in good shape, the guys in Alaska will come down and get them.
All right. Well, I found my AP, I guess, right? You'll be my AP if I buy one of these things?
No.
Okay. Well, I'm looking for an AP. Let me rephrase that, and we'll have to leave it at that for this week's edition of The Big Show. From on the road, next week we'll be back in the studio. Till then, remember, there's no better high than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. Hi, some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.